On Sunday, we read from Luke chapter 2, and we read one verse there, and we spent time looking at 12 different ways that we could follow in Mary's footsteps. And it said there that Mary treasured up all of these things in her heart. She treasured up Christ in her heart. And tonight, we're going to look at the very next verse that's there in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this time we're going to look at verse 20, and let me read it to you as we begin. It says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told." Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight that like the shepherds, that we would glorify and that we would praise you for all that we have seen and all that we would hear tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you asked this year on your Christmas list for the very same thing that you asked for last year? How many of you, when you thought through, what am I going to get this year for Christmas? What would I like for someone to send me or someone to go shopping for me to receive? You thought, I'd like to get the exact same thing that I asked for last year. Well, most likely the answer to that is not many of you, if anyone at all. Because there's something in the same thing that's newer, and there's something that's upgraded edition. We are given to looking for new and better and different things. But as we come together this year for this Christmas Eve service, we gather like we did last year. And we do pretty much the same thing that we did last year. And the pinnacle of our service tonight, and the main point of where we're moving to, is to this table that is to my left and to your right. And it is the celebration table, the remembrance table of what the Lord has done for us. It's the same thing as last year. There's not an upgrade to it. It's not bigger. It's not necessarily better. It's what God has called us to. It's the gift that He has given us in Christ, and the gift that He's given us as a church family to come together to participate in worshiping and glorifying Him. The shepherds here are seen, and the one word that characterizes them is worshiper. They're seen as worshipers. So my challenge to you this Christmas, even as we move toward the table, is to hear this call of God on your life at Christmas to be a worshiper of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. At Christmas, it's easy to think about the baby Jesus. And as we talked about just yesterday, how the story is incomplete if we only have a baby. But one of the things that I didn't do yesterday, and one of the things we didn't focus on, is the role of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. Here's what I want to say to you. The good news isn't just that Jesus came, but that He's here with you. The good news at Christmas isn't just that Jesus came in the form of a baby, but that He is here with you tonight. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send someone who's going to be greater than if I was here. I'm going to send my Spirit so that He will be with you forever. Emmanuel means God with us. And the Spirit of God is with us if you are in Christ tonight. If you know Jesus, if you are in Christ, if you've placed your faith in Him, if you've given up your life, trusted in His, the Spirit of God lives in you. And we're reminded of that at Christmas this year. Now at Christmas, the way that we celebrate this rescue story of Jesus is different than the way that it had been celebrated before. If you think about how important these different ceremonies are throughout the history of the Christian church and the history of Israel, one of them that's extremely important is Passover. And before what we're going to do here in Matthew chapter 26, Matthew tells the story of Jesus going, before He goes to the cross, and they're going to go celebrate the Passover together. He takes the disciples, He says, I want to celebrate this meal with you. And I want you to go to this place and find this donkey and go have a room prepared for us, and we're going to go eat this meal together at the Passover time. And that story comes from, and the reason that they were still doing that ritual on that day, the reason that we're still practicing this ritual, is that God set it in place as a statute or as a ritual, as something to return to in order to have a message, in order to teach the people, in order to remind them of something. So I'm going to flip back to Exodus chapter 12, where the first Passover happens. And I want to read to you briefly. Moses gathers up all the elders of Israel, and he says to them, "Go and select an animal from the flock according to your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a cluster of hyssop, dip it into the blood of the lamb, and brush the lintel on the two doorposts with some of blood from the basin. None of you may go out of the door until the morning. When the Lord passes through to strike Egypt, and he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, he will pass over the door, and he will not let the destroyer enter into your house. So keep the commandment permanently as a statute for you and your descendants." And then this is my favorite part. It says, "When you enter into the land the Lord will give you, as he promised, you are to observe the ritual. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ritual mean?' you are to reply, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he has passed over the houses of Israelites in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and he spared our homes.' So the people bowed down and they worshiped. And then Israelites went and did this just as the Lord had commanded them to do." The children, when they're gathering together for the meal, the children rush up and say, "Dad, why are we doing this again this year? Dad, why are you still wearing your sandals at dinner? You don't wear your sandals. You take them off the door. Why are you wearing them tonight? Why are we eating this food that's bitter?" And each one of those things is a teaching moment in the house of Israel in order to communicate to their families that God rescued them, to remind them they didn't get there by themselves, but God is the one who brought them out of slavery, and he is the one who took them to the place that they are. So they still have their shoes on because they're going to leave. They eat the bitter food because it reminds them of the bitterness of slavery. They have the blood on the door, and blood is part of that meal because it reminds them that wrath was coming, that death was coming their way. But God rescued them from it. He rescued the babies. In Egypt, God's rescue plan was saving the babies from the wrath. In Bethlehem, God's rescue plan is to send a baby. God's rescue plan is to send a baby to take on the wrath so that you and I would not have to. In Egypt, he saved the babies. In Bethlehem, he sent a baby who would come to die. As we prepare to take from the Lord's Supper together, we need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded that Jesus ultimately coming to die for us, to be raised so that we could have life, is why we celebrate Christmas. So whatever might be on your list, whether you ask for the same thing you did last year or whether you have a whole new list this year of what some people call give-me's, there's a song that says, "Give me Jesus." And I want us to close before we move on to Lord's Supper by hearing these words. And he writes, "In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all of this world, but give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have all of this world, but give me Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are prepared to take from your supper together, the celebration supper that both points back to what you've done on the cross and points forward to the celebration supper that we're going to have in the new heavens and the new earth, when Jesus reigns as King over everything. Father, as we prepare to do this, we pray this Christmas that you would make our heart's desire to give up everything in this world and to give us Jesus. To move in our hearts in a way that only your Spirit can do, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a time, Chandler's going to play some music behind us. And it can be a time where you can sit and you can ask yourself that question. Is that really the desire of my heart this Christmas? Do I really want Jesus? Do I really want Christ more than everything else? Is that the case? You can also